afternoon, everybody. It is Thursday afternoon, and it is now time for Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Hey, Fetch.
Quiet. Go ahead. She's asking a question. Don't be rude.
Hey, Fetch, did that woman really say you have garnets of steel and a mind like a freaking laser?
Mary, you can't be asking questions like that. This is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time.
Why not? Aren't we broadcasting from the Middle East?
Well, yeah, but we might be seen as being politically incorrect.
You know, the problem is everybody dumps people when there's a sign of political incorrectness.
Etan, you're always politically correct.
Heck, thanks. Does that mean we can talk about dumping the Israelis tomorrow?
Oh, I'm sure you will probably say quite a bit more than that. And now coming to you live from somewhere in the Middle East, this is Inside the Eye Live Prime Time with your host, The Fetch.
All right. Thanks very much for that, Mary. This is indeed The Fetch, and you are indeed listening to Inside the Eye Live Prime Time. We're coming to you live from Riyadh, the capital of Saudi Arabia. Today's date is Thursday, October the 15th, and a good Thursday afternoon to early evening to all of you listening out there in the United States and Canada, and a good late Thursday evening to early Friday morning to all of you listening in European and Asian time zones, and of course, wherever you are listening out there on the World Wide Web or FM and micro FM broadcasting outlets, may all be well with you and yours. Really a beautiful day here, beautiful fall day, I should say, here in Riyadh as daytime highs hit 89 degrees under sunny skies and very little wind. The evening has, of course, been even more spectacular. We are currently sitting at 70 degrees at just after 1 o'clock in the morning, and we're going to be going down to an overnight low of 61 degrees. Winds are very calm, 4 miles per hour, coming out of, I don't know, it's so calm, I don't know where it's coming from, but I think it's coming out of the north, but don't bank on that one. Let's see, I've done some studio readjusting here, and unfortunately I redid something to my laptop to do some video production, and I've lost my taskbar. It likes to disappear, so I'm going to have a little bit of difficulty until I figure out how to reset that. But anyways, you know, it's beautiful here. And I don't know how many days of post or, I don't know, above 100 degrees. Is that what I can say? I just don't know how many days we had over 100 degrees. I know we went live with 100 degrees, I think, sometime in May. And then we kind of just recently broke summer with the start of fall here. And this is pretty common here in Saudi Arabia. The seasons are actually pretty predictable, and that's kind of a cool thing. But over there in Phoenix, they have broken now a 31-year-old record. This was effective yesterday. They have been now over 100 degrees for now the 144th day, and that record is now beaten the 143 days that was set in 1989. So imagine Phoenix, Arizona, which of course is a very hot area. A lot of symbolism there. You know, the Phoenix rising up out of the ashes, an arid zone or Arizona. So it's very hot there. Obviously they named that place very, very well. So the city is now thinking that they may actually tack on yet still a few more days because they're still having a little bit of difficulty getting down to below 100. So their string is rather impressive. That's a pretty, I would not want to live in Phoenix, guys. It's worse than Saudi Arabia, at least Riyadh. 144 days now in 2020, 143 days in 1989, 129 days in 2003, 128 days in 2018, 127 days in 2001. And I'm looking through the article, and so far, I don't see anybody talking about global warming. How do you like that? But anyways, they do have some unseasonal weather going on over there. So to you guys in Phoenix, it's basically not just you. It's hot. It looks like and arid throughout most of California. And to those of our listeners out in California, they're complaining again because, you know, you have a government that is not really a government. It's a, well, I don't know what you want to call it. It's a totalitarian dictatorship, perhaps. It's really not a representative government for sure. But you guys look like you're going to be going into even more risk of even more, I guess, fires as high winds, Santa Ana's type, kind of start picking up over there. So Tuesday night into Wednesday, I guess this past week here, you've got some pretty strong winds coming in. And this morning, even higher winds. So it looks like you've got a lot of trouble there in California. All right. Here, just want to give an update a little bit on the COVID-19 situation. It has appeared now again that we are hopeful that these guys will be one of, because it is a main driver of the economies around the world, whether you believe it or not. Like, this place employs, including yours truly, but I think there's something like 3.5 to 4 million expatriates that work here. Now, that's not like America, where you have a lot of legal immigrants, and then you have a ton, maybe as much as 20 million illegal immigrants. Now, here in Saudi Arabia, they do a really, really, really good job of getting the illegals out of their country. Today, they just shipped out something like 1,690 Indians who were here illegally, so they got rid of those. I know a friend of mine, he's expanding, so he's actually going to be bringing in 120-some-odd workers, so that's good. We're seeing at least some growth for some people, and that's actually a good thing, guys. When you're having to add workers, add employees, that's good. You know, we want to see the world get back on its feet, so it's good to hear this type of news. There are talks around the world now. I've had, just this week, two calls from two countries at the very senior level. I'm talking about presidential to ambassadorial levels calling me about expansions. And so when that happens, guys, that's really a good thing. So these happen to just be friends of mine. They're very well connected. And again, just take it for what it is. I've had two calls now from two different countries about expansion, investment, etc. So that tells me that something hopefully is in the air, and we're going to start to see some movement very, very soon. Very, very soon would be first quarter, second quarter of next year. Unfortunately, this year is going to be dead. Everybody's going to have to wait till the U.S. elections, and then we're going to all see how it goes, because as you know, it's a fight in America between a really criminal cabal with Bill Gates, Tony Fauci, Clapper, Obama, and a lot of others out there. It's really nasty in America, and people are really waiting to see what transpires with the U.S. election before things break down. Saudi Airlines announced that they're going to restart international flights now. It's going to be something like, they're adding something like 70 destinations. It is, of course, okay from Saudi point, but they're advising Saudis and anybody flying it, like expatriates, to take mind and heed all of the health regulations of the location you're going to, but they are going to go ahead and start flying again. And then of course they're going to let, there are some regulations in place, all this PCR testing crap and everything else, which means it's really not all that open. But effective first of the year, they're going to make an announcement sometime in December that Saudi Arabia is going to basically open up, and they are going to basically, hopefully, from what I'm hearing, but it's a rumor, it's not confirmed yet, it will be confirmed in December, that Saudi Arabia is going to reopen their borders unconditionally starting in January. Now that is great news for the world, because the more countries that we can get to start opening up their borders unconditionally, telling these medical tyrants, these traitors to the human race, in fact, these criminals, I'm talking about criminality, the medical establishments around the world, make no mistake about this, guys, they have engaged in what can only be seen as crimes against humanity, utilizing fake information, fraudulent research, like what happened inside of the UK, and of course using various implanted in politicians. I'm talking about Gavin Newsom and Whitmer and Wolf up there in Pennsylvania and Cuomo and de Blasio in New York, and I forget Rick Perry, I believe the guy's name is, in New Jersey. These guys are criminals. Make no mistake about it. They are criminals, and they are guilty of crimes against humanity. This should be the rallying call. When you go speak at your, let's say, your city board meetings, let it be known, as far as you, the people, are concerned, these people are engaging in crimes against humanity, and they should be held physically responsible for capital crimes inside of their area. In other words, if somebody dies because of these people's actions in the government, let them know, as far as you are concerned, this is a capital crime, and they should be arrested, tried for capital crimes, and then, if necessary, executed for the crimes they have done against the United States of America and elsewhere. Now, you may say that sounds kind of tough, but when you have tyrants who are willing to completely destroy your country, willing to take every man, woman, and child down with them, while they sit in their gilded little chairs collecting their salaries from you, the people, have every right as the boss, because you're paying their salaries at the end of the day, to do what you believe is necessary to take control back of your countries and your counties and your cities, etc., etc., etc. There is absolutely nothing that you should do that is illegal, but as we have discussed here, there are many options available to you, including getting your sheriffs involved, getting a grand jury put together, getting the evidence together, and then just arresting these people at the local level. I got a email in Shasta County, something up there in Redding, I think, Redding, California. And you had somebody do just that. Some guy went up there and he says, I'm arresting you guys under this. You've all violated. Now, he was not, obviously, had nothing behind him, but he was basically making that claim of a citizen arrest. And eventually the sheriffs were brought in. He was escorted out. Now, you want to do this in certain ways that you send the message to these people that their crimes against the American people, which is you, the people, are not going to be forgiven. This isn't, oh, gee, I'm sorry, we made a mistake. No, we should put forward the agenda at this stage that these people in authority who have committed these crimes should be tried and taken out of society for a very, very long time. And people like Whitmer and Perry and Cuomo and de Blasio, those who actively engaged in mass murder. Folks, what they engaged in is called mass murder. They should be tried and executed for their crimes against the people of the United States. Just my thoughts on that. But I believe this is really how it should go down. You cannot allow these politicians to simply ignore any common sense, ignore any kind of reason, and simply take the entire, or attempt to take the entire country down with it. Well, actually, they're not going down. They're collecting their salaries, aren't they? I was checking out news. I've honestly, guys, done nothing today. Nothing really this week. It's been very busy here. I don't know how I get this show in the books, to be honest with you, every Thursday under the conditions I'm currently working. I don't know how I do it. I hope you guys enjoy the show, because sometimes, honestly, I just feel like I'm just talking because I don't know what to talk about. But I'll tell you, this story's coming out of the New York Post, not the New York Times, the New York Post. And I don't have the story in front of me because I just haven't had a chance to open it. But what I'm going off top of my head is absolutely stunning news. Absolutely stunning. That essentially, as I understand it, and I may be a little off, so don't quote me on this because I don't really have it, but it appears that essentially you had the Obama administration working out, looking out to kill Osama bin Laden so that they can basically have a trophy kill. Seriously, a trophy kill. Oh, this is great. Oh, we killed him. Oh, isn't that great? And basically, they didn't kill him. They killed the wrong guy, apparently, as the story goes. And again, I don't know if this story is even true, honestly, because, hey, you know how it works. Fake news is everywhere, and intelligence operations galore are out there to spread disinformation everywhere. But as they're claiming, Iran was actually harboring Osama bin Laden. I don't know that, really. But what they did is at the last minute, they substituted in a decoy. SEAL Team 6 went in, killed the decoy. Then they were ordered to throw the body out to sea. Well, because it was the wrong guy, they understood after they killed him that, oops, Iran just called and said, you killed the wrong guy. We still got him. And since you've already gone public and announced everything about how great you are at murdering people, because this is basically a murder. It's extrajudicial killing. This is Jewish style justice. You know, Jews, quite frankly, Jews, folks, if you are enemies of Jews, if you are enemies of Jews right now in a very real way and Jews had power, these politicians would already be dead because Jews would not hesitate. Jews kill people. Jews like to kill people. It's part of their DNA. You know, look what they did to, I think, Beirut. They're going to claim they weren't behind that Beirut blast, but you know what? I don't think that was a fertilizer bomb. I really don't. I think something else went on. Anyways, what we see going on now is that all this money flying over to Iran had something to do with the cover-up of, equally a cover-up of this fake killing of Osama bin Laden. And it went up to the highest levels. And, of course, there's lots of information, disinformation, misinformation going on. But you are talking about a gang of criminals whose crimes literally no depths or bounds. I mean, they are just beyond evil. They are so low in the human spectrum of human qualities that they're almost demons, almost subhuman, something below the level of a human. They're very dark, sinister people here. And this is all starting to break out. Who knows what's going to happen? You've got Biden essentially being outed now almost entirely as being heavily involved in money laundering through Ukraine. Ukraine seemed to be a big money laundering facility. Of course, a lot of us know that Ukraine and the takeover was essentially largely a Jewish operation. So funny, the Jewish angle is never brought up in this, but hey, you know, what can we say? That's been going on for quite some time. So we'll have to see just exactly what happens now. We got 3 weeks going on into the election, before the election in the United States. I honestly, guys, I can't imagine for the life of me how a Joe Biden could be anywhere near the seats of power in this world. If I'm Russia, I'm like concerned. I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing in America? You got some dementia-riddled guy. He's not good. He's not a good guy. All this information coming out, he's pretty darn, he's sick, he's disgusting, he's sinister, he's a criminal. Lots of different things about Biden, right? And the funny thing is, the stories about Biden, I believe Facebook is even censoring these stories. Now, why is Facebook censoring these stories? And of course, from what we understand now, the people behind the censoring at Facebook are far leftists. They're Bernie supporters. They are part of the BLM / Antifa movement. So essentially, we're talking about an infiltration into our structures of media that absolutely calls for the expunging of pretty much everybody. And what's really interesting about my calls to purge media of all of these people is they went live just this past week and said, hey, we need to get rid of all the conservatives. We need to get rid of all the Trump supporters. We need to get rid of all these neo-Nazis, white supremacists, white nationalists, etc. We need to expunge them from our world. Well, see, that's their mentality. In other words, when you hear me talking about these solutions, you know, I'm putting that in quotation marks, and I'm talking about these solutions such that we are going to, you know, we need to purge, we need this. Again, I understand our enemy. I really understand this Jehovian Jewish concept. I've been dealing with these people since 2005. Actually before, 2002, 2003. And then I had been dealing it before it got too political, going back into the middle 90s. And so I've been doing this a long time, 95, let's see, 90, it was around 95. 96, yeah, 96, deregulation of long distance, around 96. So, 96, 06, 16, you're talking about 25 years. Imagine 25 years dealing with people inside of the Jewish community, dealing with them from a personal level, business level, to a social level, to online level. From dealing with the punk kids, the snots, you know, the snot-nosed guys like an Arnheimer, all the way up to some of these people you don't even know. You know, the very first reason I got banned from Twitter? I dared to say something that a Jewish sports guy said. He said something, some Minneapolis Jewish sports guy said something. I disagreed with him. I disagreed with a frickin' low-life piece of crap, you know what? Who happened to be Jewish, right? And I'm losing my account because of some punk, low-life Jew, basically. So I'm not allowed to speak out there because of a piece of crap in the Jewish community. And then Jews are like, well, you're a racist. No, I'm not the one silencing you clowns. You're the one silencing me, my friends. You go after our businesses. You go after our jobs. You go after everything about us. You guys are just disgusting people, man. We don't engage in this type of behavior, but that's the thing. We haven't been fighting. We haven't been fighting. We need to take back our intelligence services somehow. We need to take back our police, our counties. Any Jew opens and pops off, you know what? You need to have the power to shut them up immediately. Just go arrest them. You know what? That's hate speech. Let them sue. Let them sue. And you know what? At this stage, because we know the effective ones, guess what happens to them? Like Jim Trafficante. They end up dying. Oh, the tractor ran them over. That's the nature of who we're dealing with, folks. These people will stop at absolutely nothing to gain or maintain their power. And why? I don't even know. They're reasonably well-to-do. They live well. They got money. They got power. They got some prestige. What is it about them that says they have to be involved in every little nuance of our business in America and elsewhere? What's it to them? Why? You know, Western European mindsets, the old school American was, keep your nose out of other people's business. And I think a lot of you identify with what I just said. You know, you keep your nose out of everybody's business. But when I deal with people in the Jewish community, what do I end up with? They got their nose in all of our business. It's like, why do you need to care whether I believe in your stupid 6 million fairy tale? Why is that important to you? Why do you need to care whether I think Rockefeller or the Rothschilds are a problem? What's it with you? You're like me. You're just a low-life peon. You know what I mean? We're not anybody. We're not that high on the Richter scale here. So why do Jews take it so personal? You know what? We all have our, what do we call it? We all have our pay grade. You know, that's, I think Governor Perry over in New Jersey talked about that. Well, that's below my pay grade. We have what's called the pay grade. You know, we're only so high up there. We can only go so high. And quite frankly, you don't want to go any higher because you put your head up above and you get your head whacked off, right? It's called the old weed whacker approach. Just keep your head. You might get your head shaved off, but don't get your neck shaved off, right? I just don't get it. Seriously, why and where we are at today with the Jewish community, with Antifa, with BLM, with the LGBTQ community. It's almost as if being normal, being logical, being rational, being a straight person, whether you're male or female, right? Whether we're straight or not. It's almost as if we are being lambasted. Well, we're certainly being victimized, but we're being villainized. For what? Really, for what? I mean, what's the point here of the Jewish community setting up wars against Europeans? Now, at some point, people are going to get it. They're going to wake up. Now, people are waking up slowly, but people are getting it. Let's be honest. They're getting something's not right. But what I don't hear happening out there is the connection directly to the Jewish community. And I'm talking about now the Jewish community as a whole. I think we should hold the entire Jewish community at this stage at fault. If they want to sit there and talk about how everybody's a neo-Nazi if you don't agree with the stupid Jew, okay? Everybody's a white nationalist. Everybody is a white supremacist if you don't agree with some stupid Jew out there. Because that's really what it's boiling down to. And here's the thing. In America, people don't understand this, especially if they're foreigners. They may not grasp what's going on in America. But you'll hear the left, and I'm talking about Antifa, BLM, and some of these other radicalized terrorist groups out there. They walk around in a stupor, like a bunch of brain-dead idiots, talking about how the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists and all this. Now, we had that shooting purported, could have been a false flag on our side. Could have been. I have no idea. Oh, we're in a break. Hope you, that's okay, man. Cool. It's the Fetch inside the Eyeline primetime. We'll keep going right after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch inside the Eyeline primetime. It's Thursday, October the 15th, 2020. I believe that's correct because I'm always a day ahead of you guys on this one. So my calendar here says 10-16. So I believe for most of you, it's still 10-15. So, okay, we go by your time because it's really for that time slot. Anyways, good morning to all of you in Asia, man. It's 1:32 in the morning here locally. I did come home. I had a really rough week. I think I had maybe 15 hours of sleep this week. Seriously, I think that may be true. 15 hours? Yeah, that's about right. Maybe I had 15 hours of sleep all week. So I'm kind of like dead. I took a nap for like maybe 40 minutes, a little quick power nap before the show here. But it helped. I'll tell you what, it actually helped. You know, cool things here. I've got the studio almost lined up. I had a couple Filipino guys come in yesterday. They hung my lights up on the ceiling and hung up my giant green screen, which is now behind me. So that's kind of set up. Everything is looking good there. And I'm in my studio right now in the back of the house here, private little quiet area that I have. And that's kind of cool. So we're going to hopefully start to do a little bit more production work. We've been a little remiss because we're so darn busy, but we're going to try to refocus and try. We're going to try, guys. And I know you should never say try, just say do. But nonetheless, we've got the studio pretty much up and running. I can't wait to try it tomorrow. I just came home today. I was so tired. Sorry. And took that little quick nap. But I'm going to try it tomorrow. I'm going to get the cameras out. I did notice it's too bright. I'm using like these outdoor LED lights to light up the back screen. And I had a lot of like disturbance through my cell phone. The cell phone, no way. It would not work. So I'm going to try my other cameras tomorrow. And if they do work, great. If not, I'm going to have to take down these lights and go with something a little bit different style because it's just not going to work, right? So, but it's kind of fun. We're looking forward to getting started on all these works. Going out to Texas, Bruce in Texas. Hi, Bruce. How you doing? Good afternoon.
Oh, I'm doing fine. I know what you're talking about losing sleep. I had the same issue.
Yeah, what could we do, right? You got to keep moving.
Yeah, force yourself up.
Seriously, man. You can. This morning I went to sleep I had just a really bad toothache, you know. It was killing me, right? So I went to sleep like 6 o'clock in the morning. And I woke up, I set my alarm usually for 8 o'clock, so that was 2 hours. And I'm like, no way, man, I ain't getting up. And then next thing I knew, it was 9:35. Quick shower, get to the office. I got there by 10 o'clock. But, yeah, it's been like that kind of like all week. But, you know, it's okay. You know, it's okay. It's things are going good. We're busy, so I can't complain.
Yeah. Hey, can I run by you a sports store?
You know what? I actually do like sports still. I know a lot of our listeners don't, but I like it. So why not? What do you got?
All right. Yeah, well, it ties into politics. I'm going to be away, so I might not hear you if you reply. I'm going to pull up this story. It's on MSN.com from The Spun. And the person who wrote the story is an Israeli Jew. TZVI is the first name. Machlin, something like that. So that sounds Israeli to me.
Are you sure?
Maybe
he's Peruvian, maybe he's Peruvian. There's a lot of, we have so many Peruvians inside of our media. They're everywhere.
Yeah, I know. Everywhere. The Peruvians and also the Guatemalans.
Yeah, they're just, man, they just dominate our scene, man.
Here you go. The Giants player who tackled Dak Prescott has message for Jerry Jones. And just, you know, to tie in the story, Dak Prescott was a star quarterback of the Cowboys, and he had his leg broken. Actually, it was a compound fracture.
I heard it was a pretty nasty break. I didn't see it. I didn't look at it. I just saw a picture that he was pretty well down, but I heard it was a really nasty thing.
Yeah, you could see the leg going in an awkward direction right before he hit the ground. It is pretty nasty. But anyway, he was on his agents and him, you know, he has to have responsibility for it. Dak Prescott never signed a long-term deal with the Cowboys. They were holding out for top-shelf money, you know, about $40 million a year. And Jerry Jones is offering in the low $30 million a year plus $100 million signing. I mean, for anybody, that is money that you will never run out of money if you sign a contract like that. But they keep looking at the market. And, of course, the agents must get at least what?
10% of that. Well, no, I think it's 10. I think
with his health, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a 10% standard for those guys.
10%?
Yeah.
So 10% of you know, $400 million, that's a lot of money.
Yes. Yeah, it's healthy.
Yeah. So anyhow, so Dak Prescott got injured, and he's looking at maybe his career's been shortened. He's not as valuable as he once were. There's a lot of question marks. And so the guy who tackled him, this is his statement. He says he's gotten a lot of heat for the tackle, but he says, this is what he says. He called on Cowboys owner Jerry Jones to give Dak $500 million when he comes back. I feel terrible. It was a routine football play, Logan Ryan said. And you got a guy and I in a similar position. He is scratching and clawing at 1 year on his deal to try and get rewarded, try to do the right thing, try to show up to work, try to lead his team, try to get a lucrative contract. He had to come out and prove it this year. So for him to get this type of injury, that's why I feel like Dak, I hope he gets $500 million when he comes back. He deserves it. Now, they've hated Jerry Jones ever since he was like the sole owner that was pushing back against Colin Kaepernick. Remember when that kneeling a couple of years ago?
Okay.
And so they're putting this guilt on him. Like, you know, it's not my fault he broke his leg. It's your fault for not signing him to what he wanted. Give him his money. You know, that's what's all on ESPN. It's just so disgusting how greedy and just short-sighted these people are. You know, it just shows an immature outlook on life. You know, what do you say?
Well, I think sports in America has taken a huge hit, and there's no sympathy right now for any athlete, quite frankly. At all. I think athletes have burned too many bridges now to have any sympathy from anybody in America. You might have a little bit of sympathy from a few minor fringe groups, but I think for mass mainstream America, you know, we don't care. I'll tell you what, the NBA down 70%, huge numbers. You know, they only took in like 5.5 million viewers for the finals in what was theoretically something important, right? That's down since Michael Jordan of 36 million. Think about that. Well, 36 million at their peak, and now they're down to 5 million, and it's all because of this, let's be honest, Jewish social justice movement. There was a coordinated attempt by the NBA along with the players to push. This was collusion to push this social justice warrior nonsense onto all of us, the general American public, and we have rejected it out of hand. And I think that success has to be now taken forward into the entire, you know, the entire economy. And as what we achieved in this arena now needs to be achieved everywhere. I'm talking about everywhere. You know, we obviously have a huge majority. 70% is a huge number of people and a lot of different allies in that group. So we need to take the success, build on it, and somehow we need to get the message out that it's Jews who are behind the social justice warrior movement. Somebody's got to fund it. Somebody's got to give it the ideological background or backing, and that's coming from the Jewish community. So your real enemy is the Jewish people at this stage, as far as I can tell.
And the Peruvians, too.
And the Peruvians, and sorry, I'm going to get all these Guatemalans sending me messages. Señor, it is not us, we do. Sorry, Doug. Sorry, guys.
Never forget the 6 million.
Yeah. So anyways, no, we're really not racist, guys. We enjoy everybody, but you know what? We want to enjoy everybody. We don't want a mishmash of nothing. So, take that for what it's worth.
Right, right.
All right.
Hey, did you hear the latest about Hunter Biden?
I didn't. You can fill me in because I honestly haven't had a whole lot to work on. I might just give you the microphone and I'll go have take a nap. It's Bruce in Texas, yeah, everybody. Inside the I Live Primetime.
By memory, but they found his laptop. The hard drive of his laptop has been released to the New York Post, and there's some damaging information in there. Hunter Biden confirmed linking up his father with Russian interest, you know, basically pay to play. Mm-hmm. And also his smoking crack, his son, you know, the pictures of him smoking crack in bed, pictures of him with a girl having sex, smoking crack. What else is there in there? Oh yeah. And he's looking, to buy, or to get a hold of, underage sexually explicit material.
Now here's,
like father, like son.
Yeah, here's the thing I have with, that summed it up pretty well. But here's the thing I have with this, Bruce, and it has to do with the FBI. The FBI, they apparently had that laptop since January of 2019. They actually had this information and they sat on it. They literally sat on it. And when you look at it, you have to understand the FBI is like our premier domestic intelligence agency, okay? Their job really is to protect the homeland through the gathering of intelligence and going after those elements who are involved in crimes or agendas that are trying to take down the better interests of the American people. Yet the FBI, in every single circumstance, does nothing but take the information and then sit on it or really hide it. Keep it from the general public to protect the enemies of the United States. This I don't get. And the people at this stage should say end the FBI. End the Fed, and that would include the FBI. These guys are dirty as hell. I mean, they're the premier intelligence agency, everybody, of the United States. And they can't solve 9/11. Are you out of your mind? What use are they? If you can't solve a 9/11, what value do you have for the rest of us? Seriously, what's your point? Just get rid of them. I mean, come on, you saw what they catch. Oh, there's going to be a plot against Whitmer. Oh, whatever, guys. So, yeah, I find the FBI to be complicit in all of this, Bruce. Absolutely 100% complicit.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a lot of video. I have a hard drive full of videos I've downloaded on 9/11, and there's several. Well, there's one that shows two instances of witnesses to the explosions being led away from the media by a guy in the FBI coat.
Yeah. Yeah. And to me at this stage,
federal cover up.
Yeah. At this stage, you know, the people should be so interested in politics. They should be so interested in politics. You can't do it alone. You have to have some mass behind you. You have to have your own networks behind you. But the agents involved in this laptop cover-up should not only be outed, but arrested. Look, we're at war right now, guys. As far as I'm concerned, everybody's at war. And we're at war with the criminal elements inside of our governments. Those FBI agents, we should know their names. We should know their families. We should know where they live. We should let everybody in the FBI know that we, the people, are tired of their criminal conduct against the American people. Seriously. This is what needs to happen. You know, if we're doing this, Bruce, you've got every XYZ Jewish agency and group out there trying to find us and out us and destroy us. Every time, right? Yet we really haven't done anything wrong but voiced an opinion. Here's somebody involved in covering up a criminal activity on a global scale inside of our national security apparatus, inside of our diplomatic corps, inside of our foreign policy system, and they're covering it up. Who is this FBI agent or agents that did that? This is where I'm at now. I'm tired of everybody just pretending like this is a faceless crime. No, there's real people doing this to the American people. Who are they? They should be fired tomorrow. They should have been fired today. They should have been forced to write a written apology to the American people why they covered this up and then literally kicked out the door. And then we should be investigating whether they were involved in a cover-up and arrest them too. Enough of this game. I mean, it's like the government, they just want to go on and on and on and on with cover-ups and crimes, and nobody's doing a thing towards these people. It's plain. Even I get a kick out of Trump. Even he's saying, like, what's the bar doing? I don't know what he's doing, man. He's just, it's obviously, it's got enough to do what he needs to do. Just do it. And, well, he doesn't want to get political. Well, you're being political by doing nothing, man. What do you mean you don't want to be political? You're being political by doing nothing. Hillary, Biden, all of these people should be arrested tomorrow. You got the information.
Yep, yep. You know, FBI, I mean, way back from their inception, I mean, during World War II, they coordinated with the Jewish Cosa Nostra to keep eye on Germans, on Germans' suspected activity in New York, so.
Yes.
They've been tight with the Cluster Moster, with the Jewish, crime families going way back. And
correct.
That's basically what we have in the government is organized crime that's deep seated.
Correct.
And I hope Trump does something about it. I doubt it, but I hold out hope because what else, who else is going to do it? Nobody. So, you know, I think it'll take maybe a collapse, a Soviet Union style collapse for it to finally, at least, have a chance of being rooted out. I don't know.
Yeah, or
go with that.
All right, thanks, man.
Let you continue on.
Thanks. That's Bruce, everybody out in Texas. And yeah, I kind of agree with what he's saying. You know, it does, you know, I'm almost looking at like an East German style collapse, you know, where you got the people literally being able to just go into the intelligence agencies and pull all the files and do what they need to do. It would be a phenomenal thing if something like that happened, but it almost has to happen. I honestly don't get why we don't have enough power inside of our own intelligence communities, inside of our own political channels to affect the change necessary to make things better. You know, we are sitting there looking at this massive crime syndicate that literally shut down not just the United States, but the world at large through this COVID-19 scam. And it was a scam. It was a scam. Everything about this was a scam. And it continues to be a scam. And you still have places like New Zealand and Australia and the UK and holdouts inside of America that are making this out to be the worst thing since who knows what. And everybody's supposed to be quiet and sit at home and do nothing and put masks on. And when they take a bite from their food, they're supposed to go ahead and take the mask off. And then as soon as they're chewing, they're supposed to put their mask back on. These types of mandates and diktats are the ravings of crazy lunatic people. These people are lunatics. They're absolutely insane to think that they're going to stop some quote-unquote virus, if there really is something, with this type of behavior. And folks, this is really true. Nobody, from what I'm hearing, now if you have other information, feel free to bring it to the fore, but nobody has isolated this virus yet. It's never been isolated. If you can't isolate it, how are you going to ever create something to actually go back and combat the thing? Now, maybe I'm wrong, but that's what I'm hearing. They really have never isolated this darn thing. Anyways, folks, it's listener-sponsored and supported radio. It does rely upon your donations and generosity to keep the networks alive, up and running. And I'll tell you, we appreciate all you've been doing for Inside the Eye Live over the years, really. But also for the network. I've gotten some emails saying, hey, Fetch, we're still supporting the network. So thank you for that. You know, we're there. They've done a great job. Really, they have done a great job fixing the network. It was really bad for a while there, towards, you know, when my Nighthawk passed. It was really bad for about 6 months, but they've done a fantastic job. Give them credit. You know, they brought in some new talent, that mirrors and kind of like amplifies what we've been doing here, which is a good thing, because now I'm not like the only lone guy out there. As far as I can tell, they've been supporting me behind the scenes, so I have nothing bad to say about the network at this point in time. So I say support them. Give them some of your cash. You know, do what you can. You can always subscribe. Do whatever you can to support them. Of course, you can always support the Fetch at Inside the Eye Live equally. We're always investing. You know, you should see this. It's kind of cool. It's massive, man. I hope it works. But yeah, it's like a super big, I got like a 3 meter. It's like 9 feet, guys. Almost 10 feet long. Yeah, it's cool. 10 by 10. I can walk around a little bit, you know? I don't have a camera that's gonna follow me, but at least I can walk around. But it's gonna be kind of fun. We're looking forward to doing some more production here soon. Video production, maybe getting some new stuff out, short news pieces, something like that. Not sure yet what I'm going to do with this thing, but I'm going to have fun with it. Plus, I need it for my work, by the way. I'm doing a lot of video production for the work here. And with the new online environment, I'm just basically trying to up my game equally. So this is a dual thing. I'm investing for myself equally because of what I've been doing professionally here. So, but it's a lot of money. It's not so bad. I think this was like $200 total, but it's not so bad, but it's kind of cool to have. What else? The ITIL Cat Report. I got to talk to Miss Erica over at Citizen Reporter, but she's been. We got to get this thing going. We never really started it officially. I don't know why. Probably because I'm so behind getting the website caught up to date. But we do have some kind of fun stuff on the Cat Report this week. As you know, or maybe you don't know, I set up two things. I set up a little salon. I got a little ice cream candy business, and I got like a small diner eatery. It's more of an eatery, cantina, they call them over in the Philippines. Cantina is actually doing pretty well. It's not losing money. It's not making money, but it's not losing money. And today, some cat came in, kiddish. Kiddish means she's under a year old. Meowing up a storm. I was calling back to the Philippines. So darn cute. You got this cat. Meow, meow. And then so Emily's telling me, Dennis, this cat wants to get adopted. I said, oh man, another one? I said, what are you going to do? Bring it home or are you going to keep it at the canteen? She says, I don't know yet. So we do have a new cat that is basically hanging out around the canteen, meowing up a storm, saying hello. It's friendly, meaning that you can pet it. It's not skittish. It's not running away every time you reach for it. So we may have a new cat on the horizon. That would make something like 8 or 9 now. We lost Spiker, unfortunately, guys. That's not good. But we have 8 or 9 new cats, and I'll tell you, some of them are getting pretty big. Because, you know, they're getting now into about a year old. So it's a lot of fun. We love cats. You know, we're a big cat place. If I ever got like a bigger place, I would get a dog. I think I would finally break down and get a dog. Emily wants a dog. And I would say, okay, fine. If you get a medium sized one, you don't have to get too small, but a medium sized thing. I don't want this big German Shepherd, you know. So, you know, there's been talks of getting a dog, but we would have to move to a bigger place. I told her if we get a farm or something, okay, fine. But here, it's not my house. I don't know about a dog, man. But there's plenty of room, of course, where I'm at. But, yeah, dogs have been on the discussion table, guys. For those of you who are dog fans, we've actually been talking dogs. But for now, the big story is we just got a new maybe. You should have seen it, man. It's kind of cool. We love our cats. I have no cats here. Lots of cats around, man. I'm in a neighborhood that's absolutely filled with all these feral cats. It's like, dang, man. Go outside 20, 30. They just start scurrying all over the place if you get too close. So yeah, we're in a big cat neighborhood, that's for sure. Lots of people here, of course. It's a residential neighborhood, so lots of food, lots of scraps, and that keeps the cats fed and happy. Remember that song, Alley Cat? I get my food from the garbage can. Something like that. Anyways, that's kind of what it's like around here. Anyways, that's the Ito Cat Report, everybody. Again, brought to you by the Citizen Reporter. And we just have to do this official. Let's see. We got about 2 minutes to go. I saw Graham. I don't know if you're still there, but cool. Graham Hart was in the chat room. That's kind of cool to see Graham around. And nice to see you still listening, right, Graham? I was thinking about you today, by the way, Graham, if you're still out there in the chat room. I actually was thinking of Graham today, Paul English, and our friends, Breiser, and everybody over in the UK. We got a lot of big listener base in the UK. I was teaching, an interesting thing, Graham, I was teaching some stuff, and one of the videos that came out was about some tiny little house in Cornwall, England. And what a beautiful little cottage, man. It's up a little bit on the raised up hill a little bit, and looking out the bedroom window, you could see the ocean from Cornwall. And I'll tell you what, Cornwall seems like a magical place, before the Tim Dwellies and some of these other people got their hands in grimy little hands and started to destroy the place with their immigration policies. But I'll tell you what a magical looking place Graham lives, man. Kind of cool. But it was kind of fun, Graham. It looked kind of cool, to be honest with you. I had a lot of fun with that, but I've been thinking about you guys. Hope you're doing well over there. Obviously with the UK seems to be an absolute basket case right now with the way Boris Johnson is allowing massive immigration undercover, of course, and then, the way he's locking down major parts of, the UK. So, for you guys, it's, basket case for sure. It's the Fetch inside the ILI primetime, back after this. All right, everybody, welcome back. It's the Fetch inside the ILI primetime. It's Thursday, October 15, 2020, and hope everything's going well with you. It's going well with me. I'm in the new studio here. It's not finished, but it's coming along pretty good, and that's a very, very cool thing. You know, we didn't get into an Oy Vey moment. We usually share an Oy Vey moment, bottom of the first hour. But I'll tell you, we kind of got a cool little one coming, though. We got a kind of a cool story. And, you know, we've had a lot of great stuff lately, because of Jewish outrage is just legion. I mean, it's amazing, you know. They were like, the Jewish community was up in arms over stickers in Halifax recently. They were up in arms about some sign somewhere, and now they're absolutely becoming chimps. You know, if you can imagine what it must be like to be a Jew. I really can't imagine. I really can't. Because I just can't work myself up into some frothing lather because of something stupid. I just can't do it. But if you're a Jew, man, it's like, wow. This is really cool. Well, the latest news is coming out of France, Paris. Jews are absolutely angry as all get out. For what? Because somebody did a little bit of vandalism, and what they did was they posted a swastika, which actually means a symbol of good luck for a lot of us, and quite frankly, it's a very good thing. In fact, quite frankly, honestly, the swastika being a very powerful symbol of the sun. And I'm thinking of starting a new concept, everybody, called conjecture, philosophical treatise or inquiry into the English language. Some of you guys might like that with my new studio. I'm thinking I might do something like that. But here's one of those philosophical treatises. The circle of life, okay, if you're going to worship life and you're going to celebrate life, what is the most common invocation out there? The most common invocation in the world, and I don't care what language you speak, is thank you. It's thank you. Now, even if you're in China, people might say thank you. If you're certainly here in Saudi, people will say thank you. If you're in Jordan, people will say thank you. If you're in the Philippines, people will say thank you. And I'm talking about thank you in English. And that's important because English is a language that was designed to be uplifting, but due to the nature of it, it can also be a very deceptive language. In other words, we can do a lot of coding and nuances in here. And of course, what we've found is over the last 5 to 10 to 12 years, we've seen that largely the Jewish community is seeking to destroy the language itself. And they have good reason. They're an anti-life. They're a hate-filled culture. They don't have any logic or reason when it comes to common sense. Everything is anti-Semitic. I don't like your fingernail polish today. That's anti-Semitic. You know, your hairdo sucks. That's anti-Semitic. Everything is anti-Semitic. You know what? Don't even talk about noses, okay? I got a huge nose, all right? But if I were to talk about a Jew's nose, oh my gosh, you know, you could talk about my nose all day long, right? Go ahead, it's big. I understand. In fact, sometimes I'm almost embarrassed. I remember growing up, or not I growing up, but my son growing up, and he said, "Hey, Dad." I'm like, "What?" He says, "You know what? I think I should call you Parrot." And I'm like, "Hey, come on now, dude. What's up with that?" He says, "Dad, your nose is really big. It's really big." And so, okay, he wanted to call me Parrot for a couple of weeks. I wanted to smack him. But you know, if I'm a Jew, that's anti-Semitic. Can you imagine telling a Jew they got a big nose? Can you imagine? And don't even go with the hook part of it. I mean, my goodness, they'll freak out, man. They'll be like, fury. Well, now, you look at the swastika, right? What is it really? It's comprised of four Fs. F, which is 6666. And 6 times 6 times 6 times 6, we covered this recently, is 1296. Now, if you notice on the dollar bill, or actually U.S. coin dollars, I'm talking about dollars, whether it's 5, 10, 15, whatever. You're always going to see a letter and a number, and they're going to match up. So B, and there will be a 2. L, there will be a 12. J, there will be a 10. I'm not sure which all the letters they use, but you will see that. And that's because in the old Masonic system, Frederick, you can back me up on this one. In the old Masonic system, part of Kabbalah is putting letters and numbers together, fusing them. So if I look at the swastika and 6 times 6 times 6 times 6, it equals 1296. And when I convert 1296, 12 is the letter L, I is the letter 9, F is the letter 6. So 1296 is LIF. E has a special property. It can, the Fifth Amendment, you know, it has a right to remain silent. The letter E has a right to remain silent. So essentially a swastika is a symbol of the circle of life. The word and invocation thank you recognizes life once again because we have O is the feminine, P is the masculine, O plus P creates what? Something you can't talk about in the LGBT community because it's like, oh my gosh, it's satanic. But if you take O plus P, you get Q, which is a fertilized egg from which all things come. And if you look at the design of the Q, that's exactly what they're telling you. The egg and the spermatoa connecting, and now you've got your fertilized egg. Go check it under a microscope. It's the same thing. I'm not joking. And you could actually figure it out probably on your own anyways. But that's O plus P equals Q. So thank you. Everything comes from Q. That fertilized egg, all life comes from Q. So our language is designed in such a way as to show people a basic truth about goodness of human life. Now, that's being lost because we have really an occupation, an elite that is an occupier. It is a foreign imposition upon all of us. It does not respect logic in the classic sense. It does not respect reason in the classic sense. It does not inspect inquiry in the classic sense. It respects nothing that is classical Western civilization. Jewish systems, by default, it's like rust. It will slowly eat away and make things just completely disappear until such a time that it's gone. It vanishes. It just rusts away. And that's why the color red often is associated with Jews and their God, because of rust, decay. And what interesting thing is that the Jewish God is considered the letter C. Okay, the C. Because you have the C and C's and vitamin C, if you want to have something that is anti-corrosive, you take vitamin C. There's a little thing in there, vitamin A for your eyes, and all kinds of stuff are going underneath the surface of the English language. Now, here's the thing. Since we know that Jewish people are anti-life, anti-Western, anti-logic, anti-reason, anti-inquiry, everything about Jewish systems is essentially anti-life. So you may think the cross or the letter T sends Jews into a tizzy. What people really probably cannot grasp is the metaphysics of the swastika itself. Because the swastika, to all of us, the world over, has traditionally always been a symbol of good luck and good fortune. And it should, because again, it represents life by its very design. It is like the solar wheel spinning. It's the top of the dreidel, if you want to get your words around. It's that top of the dreidel. While the Jewish system is the tip of the dreidel. Their six, of course, everything about their six is death. 6 feet under. The sum of 1 to 6 is 21, hence a 21-gun salute. This is linked to the world of the tarot card. There's so many things going on inside of the language that most people don't have a clue. But what we do notice about the Jewish community is that the swastika is almost like the mythical throwing holy water onto a vampire or something evil. It hisses, it goes insane, it gnashes its teeth, it gets angry, because it's in a very real sense, it's a form of metaphysical invocation against the evil within which the Jewish people live. And we should start recognizing it for what it is. Imagine for a second, if you will, if 30% of us, 50% of the human population, was angry every time a Jew tried to lambast our symbol of life, the swastika. What would it be like for Jews if they were hounded and chased into absolute obscurity every time they went after the circle of life or the swastika? Because that's really what is happening here. Who are Jews at the end of the day to deny us of our religious symbols, our philosophical symbols, our talismans? Who are they to deny us of something that is far more ancient than the piece of crap rubbish that is Jewish culture? This little thing that, oy vey, we gotta go kill everybody because you don't believe in our God. That's disgusting, guys. Everything about, excuse me, this Jewish construct is decay. And you see it everywhere they go. Look at America today. So this story comes out of France now. It says, disbelief, fury among French Jews as Paris swastika vandal escapes charges of anti-Semitism. Well, every Jew who is behind this should be arrested for anti-life behavior. See, that's where this has to get taken. And people don't grasp that yet. It has to be taken to where Jews are fearful again to speak. Let them go back into their holes from which they came from. Because guess what? You may say, Fetch, you can't. No. Guys, that's what they want for you today. I'm not saying anything that they're not saying for you today. Because if you want to invoke upon the Jewish people your symbol of life because you see them as a death cult, why should you face charges because you basically have hit them with a talisman that goes right to the core of their evil? It makes no sense to me. Guy says here, how can you spray 20 swastikas without being prosecuted for anti-Semitism? Well, why would we be charging them for it anyways? Why are you going after people for invoking the circle of life against your evil? How about you change your evil ways inside the Jewish community? How about you start to embrace the circle of life for what it is, and you put it in your synagogues and give it the due respect it has deserved, instead of people having to impose it upon you through violent ways as you like to see it? So anyways, this happened in France. It was a guy from Georgia, 31-year-old guy, and he's in custody. He's in custody still. Not for charges of anti-Semitism. He's in custody for vandalism. Now, I don't know, but wouldn't you think that any Israeli that came to your country should be arrested equally then? And they should be stopped? And they should be asked, what is your opinion of the swastika? And if they say it's evil, should they then be kicked out of your country? Because they are clearly an evil person themselves. How can you call the circle of life evil? How can you call something that invokes life at its very core evil? So clearly Jews, through their ignorance, are admitting to the world that they are a death cult, a death culture. And people don't get how the metaphysics of this all work. See, the grand design that was put down into symbols, allegory, archetype, they don't lie because they are built on universal principles. And that's what people really can't grasp here. Not that it's taught, by the way. And it's not even taught inside the various secret systems. Now they just use this information to encode a lot of stuff. And gee, you know, and they use it for passing information. It's always been used for that, by the way. Q, you know, the Q, the Phenom QAnon, it's rife with this type of information. It's all over the place. Today, hell, we were talking about this in the 2002, 2004, 2005. Long before it came, Q. Why Q? Q is an interesting number because it will sum to 153. Okay, so you'll see things like 153, Jesus, 153 fish, stuff like that. But what's the opposite of Q? The opposite of Q is Z. Because the Z will sum to 351, which is what? 153 backwards. So now the 17 and the 26 become very important numbers, and guess what? These numbers aren't really important in the Jewish system. But they're critical in our English system. So my point here is, why should we be out worrying about Jews complaining about a swastika when their very admission says they're evil? And we should be seeing them as that. The idea that we're charging people on behalf of a death cult is insane. It's insane. It really is. How dare Jews vilify us, and then we prosecute us equally on behalf of Jews? How stupid is that of us to do the bidding of a death cult? Let them gnash their teeth and let's see them for what they are. A type of subhuman evil that does not respect life. How can you get angry with a swastika? Honestly, I don't see it. It means the circle of life. It has always been a positive symbol throughout all recorded history. I'm going to change my opinion because some idiot, violent, arrogant, stupid person in the Jewish community doesn't understand our symbols? What, I'm supposed to be lowering my intellect below that of an idiot? Why would I do that, and why would you do that? Think about it. You're not combating anti-Semitism by going after that. You're supporting a death cult that is basically a pack of idiots within our midst. Why are we lowering our intellect below that of Jews? This is an esoteric argument that must be reunited and refought. Why should we lose our symbols to a bunch of actual idiots, man? These guys are nothing but totalitarian idiots. No, we have a problem. Actually, it's a big problem. And this pandemic is what's initiated. Well, it's not what's initiated. It's kind of like cemented a lot of it. The U.S. Army. I have a message to the U.S. Army. Who the hell are you? Seriously, who are you? You are an instrument of the people of the United States. All right. You are an instrument of the people of the United States, whether you like it or not. Now, for the majority of us, we understand, we said all along, social distancing is nothing but a totalitarian control system that you find inside a prison. Okay? It eliminates human contact. It degrades the human experience. It turns everybody into these automaton robots. For what? A bunch of totalitarian idiots at the top? And now, the U.S. Army is like, well, gee, this is really good. Because, you know, all of my recognition software, my audio, my visual recognition software works really good when everybody's 6 feet apart. It's really good, man. I got processing power, speed. I can see everybody right away. And so now we have this nightmare going on because of a bunch of criminal, evil people. And now the U.S. Army wants to keep it. And our words should be to the U.S. Army, excuse us? Excuse us. When are you people inside of the U.S. military who are partially from, drawn from our people equally, when are you going to come back to being sane and rational yourselves? See, we can see where this evil is. Now, according to the site Defense News, in the wake of the COVID-19 pandemic, which never existed, in other words, based on bullshit that we put forward out there on the behalf of the World Health Organization, the defense industry began adjusting its facilities to avoid major outbreaks that could shut down production lines for days or weeks at a time. And now that those changes are in place, the U.S. Army's top acquisition official thinks they should remain so for good. Speaking to reporters during the Association of the U.S. Army's annual conference, Bruce Jett, Assistant Secretary of the Army Logistics and Technology, said he sees long-term benefits from maintaining the kind of social distancing protective measures put in place across the country. There was nothing safe about it. This is nothing but destroying the human condition and turning everybody into robots. You look at these absolute morons out there, MPs, sitting in the middle of nowhere wearing a mask. How stupid are you people? Do you realize under the current conditions, 87%, 90% of those who have quote-unquote gotten the coronavirus, they were all wearing masks, you idiot. It doesn't do a thing for you. It actually makes things worse because you can't even breathe fresh air. You can't even get fresh air into your system. You catch something, you then start rebreathing it back into yourself. How stupid is that? Like, seriously, how stupid is that? There's no common sense to this. And I challenge anybody in the health industry, bring me the science, man. Bring me the frickin' science. Show me. Because all the research that we've been doing on this since this all started shows it's all a bunch of fraud. Everything they've done is just a fraud. You ain't gonna stop it. You know what's funny? I go outside and I see all these masks, right? I got a black mask. You hold it up and it's like a pair of pantyhose, man. You can see right through it, right? You know, you ever hold the pantyhose up, right? Nylon like this, nylon type of netting. You can see right through it. I'm like, what's this? What's this made out of? Pantyhose? Black pantyhose or what, man? Because it's like so clearly, you can see so clear right through it. But you look good. It's black. Wow, you go outside and you look really good. Really, really good. Wow, I've done a great job. I got a mask on. No, it's stupid. Again, it's stupid. Again, it doesn't make any common sense whatsoever. The amount of resources we have wasted on masks. The amount of trash we have generated because of masks. Okay? And if it was really that deadly, and you had all those masks, it's basically a biohazard. Come on, man. Where does the stupidity stop? You guys are sitting there saying this is all necessary, but you're saying then it's, oh gee, it's a biohazard. Okay, where's your biohazard reclamation centers? So that we can collect all of these biohazards that are out there and properly dispose of the biohazards. Yeah, none of you people in the medical industry want to touch that one, do you? Because you don't have a budget for that, and we would bankrupt you, and then you wouldn't be able to pay your salaries trying to cover for these biohazards. See, we kind of get how it works, everybody. The medical industry, they put out this stuff, but hey, they ain't got the budget to properly do all this. Are they kidding? No way. I'd love to see the, you know what? All of us should say to the medical industry, you know, you're not getting any more budget. But what we are going to do is we're going to force you to use your budget to properly dispose of everything. All right. Come up with a plan. Since you've seen this is necessary, every medical institution out there that backs the COVID-19, you put together a plan using your current budget because you're not getting any more money from us, and you must dispose of this stuff properly. They'll drop it in a heartbeat because guess what? They won't have money to pay salaries. Ha ha. It's the Fetch, everybody, inside the Eye Live. Primetime back after this. All right, everybody. Welcome back. It's the Fetch final half hour. I like Thursdays, sort of. You know what I don't like about Thursday shows? I don't get to bed till like 4 a.m, which has like been all week. So it's going to be like a normal day for me. But yeah, those 4 o'clock, 5 a.m. stuffs after the show is kind of tough. We are up to date, by the way. I'm not up to date writing stories, but we are up to date on getting at least everything posted for the most part. So I'm going to try to get some stories written tomorrow. I'm going to set up the studio tomorrow. We're going to have a little bit of fun here. So just want to say thanks again to everybody who continues to support the show. What else is news? Obviously, there's so much news going on. You know, one is the anti-white discrimination that's been going on out there. Of course, to those of us who were at the very forefront of this fight, you know, this has been going on since the days of, you know, Henry Ford and before. There's always been, in fact, if you go into the BBC and some of these old videos, television productions that have been saved that go on into the 1930s, talk about the pre-war days, 1930s. Excuse me. What you're going to find is that Jews have been very violent towards the native people on their ascendancy to power for a very long time, going all the way back in the 1930s. This was true in the UK. It was actually true in Germany. Germany responded by having their own protection services. Those became the brown shirts. People don't understand. The nature of the brown shirts was there to protect the rights of Germans to safely assemble without Jews constantly coming in and beating them up. And of course, what we have today is a nation that has become so anti-white, anti-American, really, because we're still technically a white nation. You know, we were 93% white in 1965. The nation was built by Europeans. It wasn't built by migrants. Okay. It wasn't built. It was built by Europeans. Well, in America, there is no chance for Europeans or just Americans to get together and actually create their own militant organizations that would be able to defeat BLM and Antifa on the battlefield, which would be the streets. See, in other areas in modern history, there would have been militias, paramilitaries on both sides. BLM would have been met with violent force as much as BLM brought force to the table. Same with Antifa. They would have been met with violent force equal to and a bit more than they brought to the table. And that is because at the end of the day, what we're really looking at is an attempted violent takeover of our nations by these people. Now, let's be honest. BLM, burn, loot, and murder isn't going to build a country. You're not going to be able to raise a family in this environment. You're not going to be able to have a job in this environment. You probably won't have your business in this environment. You won't be able to speak in this environment. It is a deathly Jewish concept. Same with Antifa. In fact, the links of Antifa to Jews is publicly acknowledged by Jews. This isn't like it's a secret. Everybody knows it. So the real issue is, and Charlottesville, by the way, was one of those things that showed the power of Jews to shut down white organization. Let's be honest. The whites that showed up at Charlottesville, they were nonviolent. They did everything by the book. And Jews and their Antifa thugs were allowed to come in And they've been using Charlottesville, if you think about it, as some type of meme to erroneously or viciously attack white people ever since. But this has to have its limits, folks. You're a nation, you're a country, you're a people. It's your country. It is your country. It doesn't belong to Jews only. See, Jews, they have a lot of money, they have a lot of power, they like to scream anti-Semite, it's a trick they always use, you've heard that before. And they essentially don't want you, the people, to be able to govern your own affairs. At the same time, you gotta recognize the international definition of anti-Semitism, which says that Jews get to have their own place, but you don't get yours. How funny that works, right? Well, folks, it's time to start exercising your words, exercising your right to speak. One thing that I like about Trump is he is going after the diversity cult. He is going after them. And one of those was to stop critical race theory inside of government contracting offices. Well, now there's another one that absolutely must be brought into fore, and that is the assault on all of us by banks, by payment processors, of course, by social media. And what Trump is doing here is he is warning now multinational corporations that their supposed commitments to diversity just may end up costing them federal contracts if it's determined that their behavior is discriminatory against white people. That's correct. Let me read that again. Trump is now going out and saying, look, if your commitment to the quote-unquote diversity is in reality just a mask or a screen for anti-white agendas, or I guess agendas, then this discrimination against white people may be viewed as a cause for these companies to begin losing contracts. The Labor Department under President Donald Trump is using a 55-year-old presidential order that arose during the Civil Rights Movement. See? The Civil Rights Movement to put companies like Microsoft and Wells Fargo under the microscope for their actions that keep qualified white American workers out of positions they deserve. The letter asked us to prove that the actions we are taking to improve opportunities are not illegal race-based decisions, said Dev Stalkopf, another Peruvian. Microsoft's general counsel, emphatically, they are not. Well, bullshit. Excuse me. We know that you Jews are anti-white, you're anti-European, and you're only in our countries to destroy them. All right? We get that. Now, the Labor Department responded that it appreciates Microsoft's assurance on its website that it is not engaging in racial preferences or quotas in seeking to reach its affirmative action and outreach goals. However, social justice warriors note that the move by the Labor Department is lost because my screen just changed. That's not good. Let's see if I can go back to that screen. Let's see here. The Labor Department responded, appreciates Microsoft's assurances. Social justice warriors note that the move by the Labor Department under President Trump may have a serious impact on hiring practices with federal contractors employing nearly a quarter of all American workers. So for tech companies that don't care about these issues, the pronouncements are a dog whistle that they can carry on discriminating the way they already have. Anyways, it's not illegal, they say, to strive to have a workforce that reflects the makeup of your nation. Well, if here's my point. You know, we in the European white community in 1965 on into the early 70s, we were asked by Jews and their media to engage in this great experiment called diversity. And the fact of the matter is 50 years on in, as most things Jewish, it's a complete failure. It's a failure for the United States. It's a failure for white working Americans. And let's be honest, folks, not all quote unquote white people are privileged. I think I told you the story of my birth mother some time ago, you know, working in the chicken processing plants up in Minnesota that's now taken by Somalians. Okay. Now she, again, for her, this was something that gave her self-esteem. And we should always be providing work for our people. It happens here in Saudi. Okay? It happens in Saudi all the time. They're always looking for ways to get jobs to Saudis. There's a lot of complaints too. Because, you know, you just can't walk into a position overnight and expect to perform like other people do. And that's the same thing in America. You hire all these diversity hires and the next thing you know, guess what? Your Boeing airplanes are falling into the ground because they basically were engineered by a bunch of diversity hires to fly straight into the ground. Yeah, that was a great move, Boeing. Good job. Yeah. Another win for diversity, right? Well, we'll like to see what happens with this. Now, the critical race theory being kicked out of government contracts and such is a good start. We'll see what they have to do with this. But essentially, guys, we have to treat social media, especially payment processors, okay, telecommunications firms, any company that uses the telecommunications grid of America, that if you're going to use our grids in America, and that includes Facebook, that includes Twitter, that includes everybody, you must just adhere to our laws. Plain and simple. Look, we have a commitment to free speech in America. We don't believe in this Jewish bullshit about, oh, fighting hate. Baloney. If you fought hate, every Jew would be kicked off of frickin' Twitter tomorrow, guys. All right? Every time a Jew whines about the swastika, kick them off, okay? That's a sacred symbol for us. Okay? Fine. All right? So it's so simple. Because all it takes is for a Jew to be offended and then you can do whatever you want. Screw that. What a bunch of totalitarian jackasses. It's worse than that, quite frankly. So we'd like to see if this actually works here. Not sure it's going to work, but I would like to see us, the people, especially going after the payment processing companies. How dare you? This is not your control of our money. You don't tell us where we can spend our money. That's a violation of interstate commerce. Destroy them. See, I'm of that mind now. I'm getting so angry with the arrogance of Jewish companies that I just want to see them absolutely destroyed. I want to see them arrested. I want to see them hounded. I want to see them actually literally crying until they go back to Israel. Because guess what? Their attitude is, we're going to do whatever we want to you till you cry, complain, and just wallow away and just kind of whittle away into nothing. See, they want the same thing for you equally. We didn't start this battle. We're now recognizing the attitude that Jews bring towards the table and their literal actions against everybody else. The criminality is unfathomable, folks, as to what really is happening here. You know this story about and that's been breaking apparently, this laptop that Bruce was talking about earlier and we also talked about. It is explosive. Imagine this. Obama, Clinton, Biden, Brennan. They did not go out. They went out to kill Osama bin Laden, right? And it was supposed to be a trophy kill to help Obama win the office. Imagine. You're using America's elite fighters, your SEAL teams, to go conduct an extrajudicial murder. It's a murder, all right? Because if we do believe in due process, we are not Jews, okay? Jews do not believe in due process. Jews believe in extrajudicial killing. You will not find a Jew on the street that actually believes that people should actually be able to escape Jewish justice if a Jew says, I said so. Ask. You'll find out. You don't have to trust me. You don't have to believe me. Go ask. Ask a Jew what he thinks about every single person that pushes the Holocaust should be arrested for hate crimes. Let's see how well they accept you, okay? Because they are imposing a type of hate speech themselves. All right? Just play the game. Play it hardball. Don't play softball. Well, in this case, let's go on to the Obama, Osama bin Laden thing. Murder. It was murder. And, essentially you send in SEAL Team 6 and they don't kill Osama bin Laden. They basically kill somebody else because they don't know what the hell they're doing. It's all criminal anyways. They're flying out over the ocean. They dump the body out over the ocean. And now everybody is waking up to the realization that they've all been basically had. They're a bunch of idiots. They were basically caught being idiots. And if you noticed, SEAL Team 6 disappeared. They were all killed. And we're not even surprised. A lot of us who are Americans, real red-blooded Americans, we're not surprised because we understood something wasn't right about the whole operation. We don't have the details, but we understood something's not right. We knew it was a cover-up of something, right? We knew something because we already knew that probably this wasn't Osama bin Laden equally. We already kind of figured that out. It just made a lot of common sense. Well, the recordings are out there, apparently, that now prove that Obama, Clinton, Biden, and Brennan had SEAL Team 6 executed to cover up what is essentially crimes of the deep state. Now, if that is actually true, the President of the United States, the CIA Director, the Vice President of the United States, and the Secretary of State colluded to have one of America's elite fighting units, it's one of its SEAL teams, executed to cover up their crimes. I think about that. Biden, Brennan, Clinton, and Obama, all of them had, and we actually believe that anyways. It wasn't like to us, it was like not that big a deal. We actually knew that these people did it anyways. It's just we're not in a position of power and we know that there's nothing but cowards out there in the FBI and the CIA and everywhere else. They don't want to fight this stuff. They're a bunch of losers, basically. They don't know how to fight a good fight if their life depended on it. Unfortunately, it just may be one day and they still won't know what to do. So this thing is unfolding. It's a rapid, it's coming out. But essentially, this is outright complicit. This is treason against the American people. Think about it. Imagine you go have a president, and this isn't like this is news, okay, guys? Honestly, this isn't news. Lyndon B. Johnson, he was guilty of treason, okay, when it came to the USS Liberty. This type of behavior by America's elite politicians is not all that unusual. In fact, it's not that unusual even in the armed forces. You have Tillerson, I think his name was Tillerson or Tillman. I think Tillman, the guy that was the football player, he was killed. He was fragged. This happens all the time. See, the American military establishment, for all the gung-ho, yay, 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 yay stuff, they're dirty, man. They are dirty. The stories I heard coming out of Iraq was unbelievable. The Iraqis said, we have never seen a more corrupt people ever. This would never, what you Americans were doing here would never have been allowed during Saddam Hussein's era. Never. The American military, especially the political establishment, is dirty, folks. Don't think for a second that they're all these great Americans. They are dirty people. They are not patriots to the American people. They are servants of a deeper state, and they do that because that's how they get their guns, they get their toys, they get to go do all the murders because that's what they like to do. What was John Lennon said? Working class hero is something to be. If you want to be like the folks on the hill, you got to learn to smile as you kill. Well, that's the U.S. military, the political hacks. So this story, of course, it came out, just yesterday? A guy by the name of Charles Woods and Nick Noe at AMP Fest, something like that. What else? They put out some other stuff. It has to do with Benghazi. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, if anything. Next News Network, Scary Frankie has been covering some of this stuff. I take some of this stuff with a grain of salt, to be honest with you. By the way, X-22 report, I'm taking that with a grain of salt too lately. I've been watching just because I'm trying to keep up on some of this stuff from the alternative side of things that I don't normally follow up. So we will see now. You know, we have seen all the crimes have been basically exposed. And I don't know what they are waiting for to start to arrest people. I am so tired of hearing there's so many sealed indictments and the arrests are coming. You know, I remember talking to a woman. I used to represent a very high level, health supplement. It's called Shugyom bamboo salt, 9 times a Taoist bamboo salt out of South Korea. And I knew the head of the one of the Taoist sects, that's how I got it. And I was talking to all the major people in America, Liner Health, Natrol, Rexall, you name it. I was talking to pretty much everybody. And they said, you know what, it's a great product. It actually works. And they said, you know, Dennis, it's a great product, but it'll never see the time of day. And that's because it would actually help you. It would destroy a 6.1 some odd billion antacid market if it were actually to be properly done and rolled out across the nation. You wouldn't need all these antacids out there. Well, I kept trying to say, you know, it's coming. And finally the woman handling it, she says, you know, Dennis, I'm tired of hearing about sex. I don't want to hear about it's coming. I want to hear that it's actually done. I hear you, man. Let's see here. We got just a minute or so to go. 3 minutes to go, something like that. I'm going to go back out, I think, to Texas, is it? 2-0. Welcome back inside the iLife. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah, I only want to throw something in there since you're on the subject of SEAL Team 6.
Yeah, go ahead.
And the Afghanistan issue. And I'll hang up. I did some research on it, and the missile, according to witnesses, the missile went at a low trajectory close to the ground and then angled upwards and struck the aircraft in the engine, which is the flight profile of a MANPAD, a heat-seeking missile.
Yep.
And the official story was it was a lucky shot by an RPG.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, they're flown into a waiting ambush, probably set up by CIA or something.
I believe that. I don't for a second think that this was done by the Taliban. I'm not so naive. You know, but I'm not in a position that would, yeah, okay, thanks, man. Yeah, I'm of that. I mean, I knew actually as soon as that happened, I knew for a fact they were assassinated. I just know. I can't prove it, but I know. It was so dirty, guys. The way this whole story went down, it was obvious to me. Honestly, it was obvious to me that they were assassinated. It was just too convenient. It was just a matter of time. And this happens all the time. Why? Because the people working at the senior levels inside the shadows are dirty. They're evil people. You're talking about very seriously evil, evil people. And what's interesting now is at least now it's coming out. Because for those of us who have been doing this for what, 10, 12, 15 years online, for years, I and many like me, you know, they labeled us conspiracy nutters, conspiracy theorists. No, we were conspiracy inquirers. We're not a theorist. We're inquiring about real and legitimate conspiracies. And sometimes you just know when things don't smell right, and there is a conspiracy, and this was one of them. SEAL Team 6 was one of them. So, we'll see. Brennan, Clapper, Hillary, Obama. In fact, many in the Obama administration. In a very real way, whether you like it or not, America should be holding show trials and executions, whether you like it or not. Seriously, they should be holding executions. That's the only thing that will stop what is going on inside of America today, is telling these people you run a huge risk and we are not playing anymore. That's the show, everybody. Thanks for listening. Inside the Eye Live, Saturday, 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern, right here, Revolution Radio, freedomsource.com. See you then. Good night, everybody.